click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Hi, Sis Gugule Chumfupi. Thank you for the info, Sisi, about Ichikini. Things of Tenga the right brand. Because I think Yonki Inyama manje kune foot and mouth disease, but luckily I'm not a red meat person. But don't worry, girl. I'm always with you every day, though I'm a silent listener. Love you, girl.
Thank you, Mama Gasbu.
Google to Nami Aita Lugaba show you good show what Dwight. Akwenzeki futhi akubonakali kuzowenzeka, especially elokishini kusa-operator kakhulu iphanza shop ku-operator labantu bangaphandle. Still, because aba-inspector sometimes unokubona amaphoyisa ezafika athathe itshotsho kula bantu bangaphandle, i-grab yard nani nani. So ngeke kulunge, kuyafana nje.
Z, thank you so much. Siyabonga nge-voice note yakho, sis. What Z was explaining there is the fact that the conversation we had with the National Consumer Commission a short while ago, one that gave us some insight into stores that they have inspected on a continuous basis and recognized they continue to flout the Consumer Protection Act and essentially are now making sure that they provide corrective action. So as you've heard, sometimes it doesn't work, especially in our townships where bribery is quite rife and all you see is the cops taking some kind of bribe. No arrests actually follow through. But we do need to see how it is that we tighten those controls, because just because it's happening, it can't continue to be the norm, right? Things do need to change. And Mama Gasbu earlier also commenting on the conversation we had around the bird flu vaccination. So that's going to be rolled out by a company called Astral Poultry. Essentially, they operate distributing key brands like Festive Chicken and Goldie. So at least that's something that's taking a shift, going to have a positive impact on the industry. But earlier on, when we started the show, you might recall that I spoke to you about Corporate Wellness Week. And speaking to my colleagues on the Drive show, they actually said to us, well, it's really just about the free gifts that we get. We like the water bottles, the yoga mats, and maybe even the free kit bags. But I want to challenge you today. As someone who might be an employee, an entrepreneur, or even a corporate executive who prioritizes the well-being of individuals in the workplace, how do you feel about Corporate Wellness Week or wellness days? Are they fruitful? Have they benefited you? Has your wellness been prioritized and overall then had a positive outcome in terms of your productivity and the results of the business? Or do you just look forward to the free apples, yoga bags, and perhaps just having a couple of hours off to navigate and speak and catch up with your colleagues? Let us know by sharing your voice notes on 063-688-0959.
Kaya Biz. This is Kaya Biz.
With Gule Tumfupi.
On the street, on the air.
On Kaya 959.
In studio, to help us unpack the discussion around Corporate Wellness Week, we're joined by a formidable leader within the wellness space. He's a well-known entrepreneur who has won multitudes of awards, recognizing his effort, his passion, and his drive to fundamentally shift how it is that we view wellness in the workplace. Not just from a healthcare point of view, but really understanding how through his efforts, strategies, and solutions, he's helped some of the biggest corporations across the African continent and the globe essentially shift the needle in driving true impact and outcomes when it comes to the unlocking of human capacity and potential. I'm joined in studio by the CEO of Healthy Living Consulting, Mr. Ronald Abvergy, who joins us to give us some insight here. Ron, such a pleasure to have you in studio.
Google it, Umfupi. It is fantastic to be with you and not stalk you from the, across the room, because everyone can see you.
You do that.
At times.
Well, you're quite right. I actually told my colleagues a few weeks ago, this is a safety hazard. If you drive down Jan Smart, you can literally just see me speaking into the mic. But besides that, and maybe that is part of the wellness, right? I enjoy looking at the traffic sometimes. It eases my mind and helps me think. But wellness, as we know it, often speaks to so many other integrated themes within the workplace. Your health physically, how it is that you show up mentally, and how all of that translates into the workplace and the outcomes of the company. But maybe let's just start there. It almost seems as though we need to redefine and rethink what wellness is. And I'm hoping that you can take us on that journey, given your more than two decades of experience within this space. Wellness today, should we be rethinking it and redefining it?
That's not even in question.
Mm-hmm.
I think you mentioned it earlier. when you spoke to your drive time colleagues.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for the freebies. I can't wait because I'm going to get some time off work. Ooh, I'm going to get a massage. Ah, when are key fitness classes?
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that that's 2010 thinking. Why must I give you something in order to look after your most valuable asset, which is your mental, emotional, and physical well-being?
Mm-hmm.
And because you are spending 8 to 10 hours at work or with work on average, and I'm saying that because driving or traveling to and from work is part of on your journey to
Ooh.
And on your journey from.
Got you.
So how much time are you actually spending with yourselves? So the responsibility sits with organizations, but the accountability to understand yourself and within that context of work sits with you.
And maybe that's an important point that you mentioned, both the responsibility but also the accountability. And so far what we've done in the past, and I've also spoken to a number of experts here too, Ron, is talking to them about the metrics. And so often we hear about financial distress impacting how employees show up at work, mental health concerns, anxiety, depression, stress, all being built up as a consequence of people being in environments that are toxic to them. And I think this takes us back to actually understanding beyond the redefinition of wellness, but even the metrics that we use to measure this. And are these warped? Are they reliable? How do we shift?
How do you feel as an employee to know that a number on a spreadsheet is dictating what needs to happen in your life and how it impacts you?
Ooh, not good.
Not exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at that, you might have an employee number, but you are still a human in that organization. And the shift needs to happen that if we're looking at the metrics that are dated metrics and we're chasing engagement metrics, why? Because we need to report high up into the food chain as to how does it impact a cost. You are a cost line item, but you are an asset to the business.
Mm.
So why don't we flip the lens into rather looking at wellness as a potential to multiply value.
Mm.
Value of being, value of self, and ultimately, wellness has the opportunity to deliver shareholder value. But we are measuring a lagging outcome. How many people participated?
Yeah.
How many people did this? How many people did that? Here's my question to you. So what? So what does that mean? If people are not okay and not well, and Professor Renata Schoeman from the Stellenbosch Business School,
yes,
she actually published an article last year on workplace burnout.
Yes.
And when you look at workplace burnout, it's associated with mental health. And mental health in South African workplaces, random guess, what do you think it's costing our economy?
A billion might be too small, so maybe I'll say 3.
161 billion rand.
Oh.
In absenteeism, in being present at work physically but not mentally and driving productivity.
Presenteeism.
Mm. And when you look at the mental health vulnerabilities, they are real. But you spoke earlier and you asked me the question and you said that what does that actually mean from a, what are we measuring and how are we determining what interventions and money we put in?
Yeah.
We're measuring return on investment, right?
Sure. Which is a metric that many of us respect, understand, and continue to use to measure outcomes.
Absolutely. So it's just like putting tires onto your car.
Yeah.
There will be a return on investment because it, you know, it'll take you further, less petrol you're putting in, etc. But humans in your workplace are multifaceted. There are individuals that are there to earn an income, but also to deliver an output.
Mm-hmm.
But humans in the business form part of a team.
Mm.
And the lens that we look at return on investment, we are measuring the wrong things. We are measuring lagging indicators and we're forgetting the leading input mechanisms that we need to start addressing. Because, you know what they always say, if you are understanding what you should do from a weight loss perspective, let's say weight loss, but politically correct, strategically placed padding.
Oh, wow.
Hashtag Mkaba and Spechiche, right? And I'm just saying personally, you need to exercise, you know you need to eat healthy, you know you need to sleep
burpees
well
and broccoli.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about the burpees part, but okay. but you know that. Now, if I say, okay, you've just exercised once a week, and that will mean the outcome will be is that 10 people exercise out of 100, which means it's successful. If those people are eating incorrectly, not sleeping well, I don't care how much they exercise.
Yep.
And that is just an analogy I want to share. And if we take that into mental well-being and being part of this team in the business, we are missing out on the biggest opportunity that is staring workplaces in the face and custodians of wellness in the face.
Mm.
The opportunity of connection and belonging. Because Harvard Business Review stated and did a research study that identified the sense of belonging in the workplace decreases mental health vulnerabilities and drives resilience by 52%.
Sheesh, that's a big number, Ron. And I'm intrigued by that, right? Because as you say, the stats speak for themselves and it does actually improve the outcomes of an employee. But speaking as a devil's advocate, you know, many corporates and businesses, medium-sized as well, might come back and say, well, you've got the title, you've got the position, we're giving you the salary. What more do we need to do to make you feel included and part of the team? So again, how does this then speak to shifting that narrative so that Wellness Day is not just a once-off on the calendar and here's your contract, here's your title, here's your salary, but a full-on inclusion and collaborative, I guess, co-creation of making sure that you really are part of an ecosystem that is a symbiotic relationship.
You know, last night in your show, you interviewed, I think the leader of that new Chinese brand that's in the car.
Jeto, yes, the country Jeto. Manager of SA, yes.
And I still sent you a text. Oh, I Jeto the show, right? If I give you a car, it's a brand new car. Yes, I know they've got demo models, but we're giving you a brand new car. And, you know, in that car, it's like it's yours to use, but I need you to drive from A to B. That's it.
Fantastic.
Am I giving you petrol money? Am I helping you identify what you may need? Do you have back pain? Do you have neck pain? Are you dealing with, you know, frustration, stress? Are you dealing with road rage? Mm-hmm. But I'm giving you a car. Mm-hmm. So drive. That's what you basically said to me. Without giving me the tools or resources to maximize how I drive,
sure.
to achieve what you want me to achieve. That is what the current wellness is about. So when we look at what is available, don't get me wrong, the employee wellness programs have something called an employee assistance program.
Sure.
Psychosocial call center and offering you short-term counseling if you are dealing with an issue, but you need to reach out or your manager needs to refer you. And then, of course, you have these activations. Health days, wellness days, know your numbers, know your metrics, hashtag uhaihai, hashtag shugella, hashtag how much do you weigh, what's your BMI, and those kinds of things. But then what? And here's the thing. If we relook at the lens of wellness as a multiplier of value to unlock potential of teams with belonging, we are sitting with opportunity that we take what is currently being done, legacy thinking, but we plug and play what is relevant in the world today. And what's relevant to the world today is not what I'm saying and what I'm thinking. It's what the World Economic Forum did in their Future of Workplace study in January. That workplaces need to shift from HR-led wellness only to leadership-endorsed, visible, and practiced wellness. Because if you in the boardroom, how dare you dictate what I need in the tea room?
Oof. And that's a tough one, right? And I'm glad that you mentioned it because so often, and I mentioned this earlier in a conversation with you earlier, is we speak to CEOs on a daily basis, whether it's about their strategy, the metrics of their financial results, or even their leadership lessons. And typically when we speak to them, we ask about all these numbers and these metrics, but we often fail to ask, how are your people? And perhaps it's a challenge to me and many of my peers to start asking that kind of question, because the true result of one's leadership qualities and success perhaps is in the outcomes of their people, the culture, the productivity, and the inclusivity that they get to experience within the organization. And I'm keen to understand, how do we take that conversation then from the boardroom table to the tea room and make sure that it does filter, not just on terms of strategy at a box-ticking exercise, but the true lived experience of employees?
You there's a word you use right now, and the word was culture. And many organizations are spending money and time to enhance their culture. What does culture mean? Culture means that you're actually bringing in the flavor, the feel of the organization. When you walk into the place, Professor Ghoshal passed away many years ago at the World Economic Forum. Many years ago, he did a talk to leaders of countries and finance houses and global organizations. And you know what his talk was titled?
Was it what? Not what? This? What's the smell?
The smell of the place.
Yes.
Does a place smell like downtown Calcutta, hot and humid? Or does a place smell like the Fontainebleau Forest, where you have freedom, you have joy? Yes, it's difficult at times, but you are there. Organizations and culture has the opportunity to look at it as not how do we fill the cup of employees? Because when you fill a cup, it can overflow. How do we nourish the soil of the organization's flavor, look, feel, and smell so that we create this fertile ground where we can plant the seeds of employees and teams, and no matter what season we go through as an organization, the soil is so nourished that we give them what they need in a space and time that's relevant, that will resonate.
Ron, I must. This is so important. And I think for anyone who's listening, when we think about wellness, you're helping us, you know, recreate what that experience looks like. And depending on which side of the spectrum you're on, and truly there shouldn't be a spectrum, because this is a, you should be a unified approach, whether you've got a chief executive role in your title or, you know, intern, everybody should be within the same ecosystem of support. So if you are listening to us, it is 27 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. We are in conversation with Ronald Abvigie, the CEO of Healthy Living Consulting. And we really are reflecting on Corporate Wellness Week. It's taking place officially this week. You've heard previous conversations that we've had here on the show, but we are challenging our thinking that is the wellness strategy in your organization failing? Is it just about apples, yoga mats, and a couple of hours off work? Or do you find that you have the necessary support to give you the level of resilience, of change, of resonance, and a way within which you're able to amplify your presence, your productivity, and your purpose within the workplace adequately? Share your voice notes with us. Get them through quite quickly, 063-688-0959, as we do want to hear your thoughts and your feedback, whether you happen to be an employee, an intern, or all the way up to the executive level. We want to get your perspective on redefining wellness within the workplace and how we shift the needle. I must say, as we were talking, a good friend and colleague of mine actually sent a text highlighting the fact that he's been struggling with some of these pressure points over the last couple of years, given the anxiety he's experienced within his particular workplace. And ultimately, what happens at home does not happen exclusively or in isolation to what happens in the workplace. The stress and anxiety you feel in the workplace does not take place in isolation and exclusively to how it impacts your home. And I think typically that's the challenge, right, Ron, is that when we go to work, you want to put on your work face, your work hat, you know, emotions at the door. But you can't, because you are whole human. When you get home, you want to take off, you know, the work stress, but you can't leave that at the door when it has such a positive or negative impact, or strong impact on, I guess, how one does feel. So I'm quite keen to understand, you know, how as organizations, big or small, we do need to start rethinking seeing an individual for the full version of who they are, and then providing the necessary interventions and support to provide an enhanced level of encouragement where we can.
So number one is, I want to actually call out custodians of wellness that request tenders and proposals. If you are requesting legacy services on what you think people need, you should not be in that seat that you're sitting in.
But it's been working?
No. There are budgets being spent on compliance checklist items on what you think should be working. I can tell you right now, the organizations that are using the same proposal specifications they used 9 to 10 years ago.
Pre-pandemic.
How do you request DVDs in today's day and age as one of the mechanisms to inform and educate people?
Oh, no.
That's laziness. That shows no care. But when we talk about corporate wellness is not just for the big corporates. We need to talk to the entrepreneurs and the SMMEs, because that is where it starts as well. And the one thing that all corporates, SMMEs, and entrepreneur-led, founder-led businesses can do is understand this principle. You cannot manage what you don't know. I cannot handle blood pressure if I don't know I've got blood pressure. I can't manage mental well-being if I know I'm not strained or stressed or burnt out or dealing with mental health. Quick statistic. UC Berkeley identified that 72% of entrepreneurs deal with mental health vulnerabilities. Now, when we look at that, we ask ourselves, we as HLC have developed a trademarked model that looks at the individual, which is what you asked me. And we said to that individual, you are not in isolation. What are the factors that affect you personally? And let's identify those and question you on those, survey those. We then look at the survey of your working well-being and your working space. Remuneration, toxicity, harassment. Do you feel like you belong? Is there a culture, policies in play? How do you feel? Then we look at social factors. Yeah, we're not. In Northcliffe, there's no water.
In many parts of Joburg over the last few days, hey?
Thank goodness I've got sinuses today. I can't smell it here. But those are factors that are contributing factors out of my control, but still impact me. All of those come together and you are in the middle. If I take you in the middle, how do I support you if I don't know what you need now?
Mm.
Instead, I wait for a report to come through with these lagging numbers on the spreadsheet. And in 60 days, once I've read the report, looked at budget, then decided, oh, you need this.
Oh,
it's a bit too late.
Yeah, reactive.
Without a doubt, it's reactive. Mm-hmm. It's outcomes based, but it's outcomes based on a spreadsheet, not outcomes based on impact.
Mm.
And driving connection and impact to an individual and within a team, the managers become your secret weapon. And one thing I'm going to leave you with as a tool that people could start tomorrow. If managers create a 10-minute one-on-one session with each team member.
You're right. They're going to say the time.
You will. What is the cost of burnout if you are a father to your children?
My absence.
And what is the cost of that in your life?
Ooh.
And your children's life?
Can't quantify it.
So what is the cost of not allocating 5 to 10 minutes, once every 2 weeks perhaps, to spend time to get to know and connect with your colleague mm-hmm. in your team, versus your team not performing and you being raked over the coals, and then you coming down in your team, you perpetuate a cycle of toxicity.
Got you.
Oof. What is the cost of not spending 5 to 10 minutes just to connect, to get a return on value that multiplies?
If you've been listening to this conversation, we're speaking to Ronald Apogee, CEO of Healthy Living Consulting, joining us to unpack the dynamics regarding the Corporate Wellness Week. And ultimately, we've been evaluating if our metrics are working, if they are sufficient, and what we need to do better. A few of you have sent through some of your voice notes. And Mobulawa, I see your text and we'll play your voice note, essentially saying, hey, earn an income, deliver output. But let's hear your thoughts on the conversation we've had so far before we wrap up.
Yo, this conversation, something that I've been going through the last couple of weeks. Corporates don't understand that when we are not okay mentally, we are not productive. And a toxic environment only costs the company. Because if I'm not well mentally, I am not going to be productive. I'm not going to give you the results that you want. And if you're not taking care of my well-being, you are just throwing money down the drain. Because like he said, now I forgot what he said, but it just stood out for me mm-hmm. that you are there to work and then they remunerate you. But he said it in a very... I don't know, man, different way that just stuck out with me. I'll find it. He just said it now.
We'll give you the
mental well-being. I still say to my previous team and to the new team, I thrive on mental well-being of a person that reports to me, because I thoroughly believe if you are not well, you're not going to give me what I want. So I hope most people actually look at their positions like that and start treating people differently, then they will get results.
100%. Oh, Mobulawa, I love the passion. Mobulawa Ndolebua. Mobulawa is a big sister of mine and always sends through her voice notes here on the show, Ron. So I think so refreshing that, as she's mentioned, because she's experienced it, she understands the influence, she understands the impact, and thus as a manager prioritizes the well-being of her team. You've given us some nuggets that we can try to implement, but for those who might need further support, for those who might be the entrepreneurs who already feel overwhelmed and actually need a level of support themselves, where can we find you? How do we need to prepare ourselves? What can we do to make sure that we're able to reinvent and recreate this world of wellness in the workplace?
You know, ultimately, three things that we need to look at as corporates, SMMEs, entrepreneurs, and founder-led businesses. Number one is that wellness is about training the brain, not pampering the body.
Ooh.
You can have your bath at home and go pamper your body with your Epsom salts. That's fine. Number two, we need to look at it that belonging science is mainstreaming. Harvard Business Review actually said that investing in belonging increases innovation rates by 29%. And finally, it's got to shift from HR-led.
Mm-hmm.
It can still be HR-run, but shift from HR-led to leader-led wellness, because 67% of CEOs now report personal involvement in wellness strategies. And that's by the Deloitte Human Capital Trends study. Here's what we can do. We can listen. If you want to know more, what I've not yet discussed with my team, and they'll debate with me tomorrow, is that we have a well-being platform
mm-hmm.
that we will make available to anyone that chooses to implement that into their company for the next 90 days. to listen, to identify and know what is needed from personal, working or societal support and well-being. And that is only because Gugu Mfupi is sitting opposite me, and that is the gift we're giving your listeners. So check out hlconsulting.co.za, pop a message onto there, and I will make sure that you get onto that platform and you can syndicate that to your employees, and we will support you for the next 90 days.
Oh, fantastic. As you said, train the brain. You can pamper the body at home. Belonging is the science. And whilst leader-led shifts in terms of culture and wellness is what we need, can be HR-run, but not HR-led. Sure, solid notes there. Ronald Avagie, entrepreneur and CEO of HL Consulting, joining us this evening, talking about the themes that we need to reconsider when it comes to Corporate Wellness Week. Thank you so much, Ron. Appreciate your time.
Absolute pleasure. Keep winning, keep shining, and that hairdo's on fleek.
Thank you. Even with the earphones on. Thank you so much, Ron. If you're listening to Kaya Biz, do share your thoughts with us. Ooh, wellness in the workplace. As you heard, train your brain. You can pamper yourself at home. I think we really do need to reconsider what wellness does look like in the workplace and moving it beyond just a one-day thing. But share your thoughts with me.
063-688-0959. Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.